Welcome, and thank you for listening to the NextGen Podcast, a conversational series with members from Energen Wealth Partners at UBS. With an understanding of the family dynamics that can accompany multi-generational wealth, we are experienced in working with you and your family to develop a strategic plan to guide your decisions. Our approach helps provide education across generations to help define and support your long-term vision for your wealth.
Welcome to today's podcast episode, which we're calling Inside the Game. I'm Tim Vansemaes, an executive director here at UBS Financial Services. We're located in Miamisburg, Ohio, and we can be reached at intergen@ubs.com. So in our last episode, my team and I talked a little bit about our personal journeys into financial services industry. And this time we're going to focus on our special guest and his journey from football into the finance world. So with that, my guest today is Dan Fox, a director at KKR, former Notre Dame linebacker. He's not affiliated with us here at UBS, and his views are his own. So Dan, thanks for joining us today.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Tim.
Maybe you could start just with a very brief overview of who KKR is.
Yeah, absolutely. So KKR is one of the largest private investment firms in the world. So, you know, started the firm in 1976, Henry Kravis, Jerry Kohlberg, and George Roberts, and have been investing ever since. So coming up on, 48 years now, roughly. So yeah, that's a quick background on KKR.
Great. So you're a fellow Ohioan, a native to Ohio. What was it like getting into Notre Dame?
Yeah. So just quick background, you know, I'm from Cleveland originally, West Side. I went to St. Ignatius High School there, had a great high school team, which was very helpful when you're getting recruited is to be on a good team. We ended up having, 10 guys go D1, which was great. Won a state championship. And really, I don't know if I would have gotten the same looks as I did if I wasn't on, you know, such a great team. But, you know, the recruiting process was a bit hectic, as you could imagine.
Yeah.
For, you know, a 16, 17 year old kid to go through. You know, I always had a top list of schools that, you know, I was interested in, with Notre Dame being at the top of that list, along with, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, a few others. And I actually had this little project in fourth grade where you kind of like map your life out, which is a hilarious, hilarious thing to do for, you know, fourth grader. But I put, you know, I'm gonna go to St. Ignatius, I'm gonna play at Notre Dame, and then I'm gonna go play quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
Wow.
So two out of three.
Yeah.
Close. Although given the Browns' history of quarterback over the last 2 years, maybe I should have attempted that.
You might have dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, when at the time it was Charlie Weiss, Coach Weiss called and said he wanted to offer me a scholarship, you know, I knew that's where I wanted to be. It, you know, really came down to Michigan, Virginia, and Stanford. Although when I went out to the West Coast and we played Stanford, I had never been out there. And, you know, when we went out to play them in December and it was like 70 degrees, I was like, oh, wow, this would be interesting to go to school here. But I honestly couldn't have had a better experience.
What was the defining factor that led you to Notre Dame versus the others?
It's hard to describe, right? And really, like, my parents were very helpful with understanding, like, this is just a moment in time in your life where you're going to be playing in, you know, football. Everyone thinks, I'm going to play in the NFL for 15 years. I'm going to retire and do that and, you know, basically just be set. But in reality, that's not the case. So they having that educational push from my parents was, you know, very important. Also, Notre Dame was important to my family. From my mom's side, they're from Ireland, and their grandfather came over from Ireland, was struggling to find work. And, you know, someone was like, hey, they hire the Irish, you know, hire Irish people at Notre Dame. Like, you should go there. Wow. So he worked on like the janitorial staff or in like groundskeeping 80 years before I even, you know, stepped foot on campus.
Wow.
So it was, you know, it was very special. Then, you know, you take the tradition on top of it. And, you know, there was a little bit of a pipeline coming from my high school. There's a few guys that went a few years above me. So I knew I'd have a few people there, all of that together.
Wow. Well, that's a fascinating story. And do you have a couple of moments during your time at Notre Dame that really stand out?
I think about the early years at Notre Dame, and from a football standpoint, there weren't too many, you know, positive memories, honestly. Like, it was a tough couple seasons. And as you can imagine, coming in as a freshman, you come in as a freshman, you're 18 years old. You could be going up against a guy who's been a fifth year senior, who's 22, 23. And, you know, they've been obviously lifting in the weight room and working with nutritionists and doing all this thing, yeah. you know, to get ready. And, you know, I basically just came out of high school and you know, that's a big difference from, you know, just a physical standpoint. So, you know, I remember in my first camp, we had this goal line tackling drill. And I went up against a guy by the name of Robert Hughes. He was a running back. He was a beast. Mm-hmm. And he absolutely flattened me. Like, helmet popped off. It was a disaster. It was, which looking back now, I think I needed it. Like, I was like, okay, like, welcome to college football. Right. This is Notre Dame. Like, this is big time. So it's probably one of my fondest memories now looking back, but at the time was difficult.
It's good that you remember it.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. It must not have been a too wits. Hard of a hit.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, there's also some positive memories. You know, that's just first anecdote. But the first time running out of the tunnel, no. I'll never forget it. Being in front of 85,000 people, or I don't know how big the stadium is now, but it's just surreal. It's yeah. like I really felt like I was like floating, and it really wasn't happening. First time playing in a game, I'll never forget. So, you know, when you start off, you're typically on like special teams, like as I was playing linebacker. So, you know, basically like kickoff return, punt return. And running down on kickoff for the first time was like actually playing. That was a really, I see it so clearly. I actually got double teamed on the very first play. I was running down, and which was another wake up call. Luckily, Robert Hughes has prepared me for
right.
earlier in my career. The 2012 season, of course, was a standout year. I mean, for a few reasons, right? Like going undefeated and you know, for me, like starting in at linebacker next to one of the most decorated college players. You know, he played middle linebacker. I played Will Antiteo, playing in the national championship game against Alabama. Although, you know, I'd like to forget how the outcome of that game. But it was still a great experience. And really, maybe just a second on that game specifically. They had a great team. Like, Alabama had a fantastic team. There's no doubt. I mean, at, you know, running back, you had Eddie Lacy and their backup, TJ Yeldon, like two guys that played in the NFL. AJ McCarron was their quarterback. Amari Cooper was wide receiver. And like, those are just a few guys on offense.
Right.
You think about the defense, CJ Mosley and some of the DBs that are I think they're still playing. So I'm not taking away, you know, anything from that team. It's just, we played such a poor game that it wasn't who we are as a team. And one thing I remember was, you know, as a defense, we were the number one defense in the country coming into the game, and we never were bickering on the sidelines or, you know, yelling at guys saying, hey, you should do this or that. I remember that game. I think it was after like the second drive, you know, they had scored. People were pointing fingers, yelling at each other. Yeah. And it was like, there was an animosity and blaming each other. And that just stuck out to me because we really hadn't done that all year. Like
right.
It wasn't in our DNA. So, and it wasn't like we weren't down at all throughout the year. Like we were losing to Pitt. I think we went to like double overtime with them. And, you know, at Stanford was a battle. We had a goal line stand. And, you know, it's not like we didn't have adversity throughout the year. I just think we just lost some of our DNA. And I'm just talking about the defense.
Yeah.
And, you know, that accountability that we had that essentially got us there.
Interesting. Well, well, that's great. So, you know, after you get done at Notre Dame, you get a call from the New York Giants. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. It was an incredible experience. Coming out of college, I was kind of on the fringe of getting drafted, but you know, I deep down knew I probably wasn't going to, but ended up, you know, not getting drafted, but signed after the draft. And I had roughly like five teams reach out and try to sign me as an undrafted free agent. And my agent basically just looked through the rosters, tried to find the best situation for me to step into. And, you know, the Giants were a great program and thought, you know, I could compete there. So, you know, and it's definitely an interesting dynamic in the NFL being in camp and seeing 10 guys in the linebacker room, like you're coming into camp and you know that they'll only keep seven. So, you know,
yeah, that's pressure.
As you can imagine, you're kind of looking around like, where do I stand here? And I think it's, you know, someone won't have a job. Someone will not have a job here soon. I remember actually sitting at my locker and another linebacker coming up to me and saying, so you're the guy that's going to take food off my kid's table.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. You know, and I'm a rookie, undrafted rookie. I'm like, I didn't even know what I said. I think I was just like, I'm going to try or something. I don't know. I was so taken off guard. But I think, you know, I think it was in a joking way, but definitely with some hint of seriousness,
right?
It's a business and it's a totally different dynamic, at least for me as a fringe guy. Like, you know, you're scrapping. But played there in 2014. That was Coach Tom Coughlin's last year there. Mm-hmm. Eli Manning was the quarterback. Odell Beckham, you know, was a rookie with me, came in the same year. But one of those changes that I don't know if people fully realize from even just like college to NFL is how small these NFL teams are from a play, like number of players. The players are enormous. the number of players is it's strange. Like at Notre Dame, we had over 100 guys and, you know, the locker room is packed. The NFL, you have 53 guys with 10 guys on the practice squad. So, you know, 46 players actually get to play in the game. Even right. though you have 53, 46 actually get to play. This is, and maybe the rules have changed since then, but this is when I was playing. So I remember looking around, you know, being like, where is everybody?
Right.
This is a weird, you know, being in the locker room. So after first camp, I was put on the practice squad, which is also, I think, a misconception. You know, people think there's this like huge practice squad of players like waiting in the wings to get activated. There was 10.
Yeah.
Offense and defense and special teams. There's only 10 players on each team on the practice squad.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I'd be running scout team tight end. I'm going up against Jason Pierre-Paul as a D-end. I'm like trying to block him. I'm like, this, you know, I don't know what I'm, it's very interesting dynamic.
Well, I was going to ask you, so you talked about the step up from high school to college.
Yeah.
Did you notice that same level of step up from college to the NFL?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I was maybe a little bit more aware of it going into it. So I was prepared, but the level, it's just a funnel. It just keeps, you know, the best players keep funneling down and right. down. Not to toot my own horn, but, you know, I led Notre Dame in tackles my senior year. And like, as a friend, I, you know, basically barely on the team.
Right.
Like there's right, got, right. And then that's just 1 year. Then the next year, it's a whole nother, I mean, the draft's coming up here sure. soon, like whole nother group of guys that are just trying to get on a roster.
Right.
So it's, you know, obviously very competitive.
Well, one of the things that I'm interested to get your perspective on is now that you've evolved away from the sport and into the finance realm, wealth management, you know, what kind of things, if any, did you notice about how athletes handled their money and maybe some things that you learned that you didn't want to do or do want to do?
Yeah, that's another thing too. You're getting guys from all over the country, different backgrounds. And, you know, I saw all sorts of things, guys blowing their money like nothing. And actually one guy, they had someone come in and speak to the team just about like basic financial literacy. And you know, one of the guys I was sitting next to was just like, oh, I just bury my money in a shoebox. Dead serious. I was like, oh my God, that's incredible. And then also guys on the other end that like got really into their finances. And you know, I just talked to a guy who got really into real estate investing. And he was, you know, doing that for, you know, his money and doing it himself and getting into it. So definitely a wide range of, I'll say, tactics of managing your capital.
And how about something that we deal with in our world is what I would call like sudden money or sudden liquidity. Mm-hmm. You know, someone goes and all of a sudden they have a lot of money that they didn't have before. What kind of things did you see there?
Yeah, it's, you know, you think about a player's contract. You come into it and, well, you think you're going to be making this money for the rest of your life. And it feels that way. You're getting these, you know, these paychecks and it's great. But in reality, like that is your peak earning. Those are your peak earning years. And some people step into that very abruptly. So having someone to have some foresight to help you manage that, you know, from a basic budgeting perspective, how much should I spend? How much should I save? Where should I put this extra capital that I have? Like, that's important because you're not going to be getting, you know, another contract when you're 45. That's it. You're done. So being able to have that ability to look out further, I think, is why people reach out and get help, because that's a whole industry around that. So, you know, it's definitely an interesting dynamic when you receive that type of lump sum at one time.
So we talked about high school to college, college to the NFL. How did you make your way to KKR, into the finance realm?
It was a difficult transition for sure. The way I describe it to people is, imagine in your profession, you know, whether it's you're a doctor, accountant, or whatever you're doing, or in finance, and one day it's like, okay, you can't do anything. Like, you just can't do that anymore. Like, you cannot be a doctor anymore. And it's like, and people figure it out, obviously. But with a snap of the fingers, you have to go do something else, which you know, for many players, they've really dedicated their lives and their time. And it's like, people ask, like, well, what do you like? It's like, I don't even know. I've just been playing football and so focused on this. Mm-hmm. And it's not a sob story, to be clear. Like, yeah. You know, I had a great experience. It was, you know, I played the NFL. It was awesome. I'm really happy with the opportunities that it presented. And, you know, I was really privileged to be a part of something so great, but it was definitely tough. But that's also a big reason why I decided to go to Notre Dame, as I had alluded to before. Like, you know, it's hard to explain to a 16-year-old that with social media is even more just things that aren't important that they care about, which, you know, as many, you know, teenagers are deciding where they want to go to school, especially now with like the NIL and some of these considerations. But it really does carry you into the rest of your career in life. So I was lucky enough to have, like I mentioned, my parents to really open my eyes to that and explain how that was important. So I went through the business school at Notre Dame, which was critical for setting myself up after the game. And really, you know, I was just looking for ways to compete. It's, you know, which there's so many ways to do that within finance that I love. And I also remember finance 101 class being amazed by just compounding interest.
Yeah.
You know, it's
as what you don't get if you put your money in a shoebox.
Correct. Correct. Yes. Inflation will eat away at it, and rats might too.
Right.
So, you know, as funny as it is, like, you invest $100 a month and, you know, you do that over X amount of years and earn Y percent interest, like, you'll have a lump sum at the end that is meaningful. So like that, I remember being like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. But I do remember getting a paycheck from my first job, which was at Fidelity Investments, like basically just starting out, where I'd be like, wow, this is slightly different than playing in the NFL. That's definitely changed, but wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah. Well, Dan, thank you so much for joining us today. Really greatly appreciate it. It was interesting to hear about your story, and we wish all the best continued success at KKR.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on, Tim.
And there you have it. A glimpse into the life of Dan Fox, from high school football championships to the NFL and beyond. Join us next time for more exclusive interviews. Until then, this is Tim Vansemes signing off.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Next Gen Podcast. To learn more about our team and to join our exclusive educational events throughout the year, check out our website at advisors.ubs.com/Energen. If you have any suggestions on episodes you'd like to hear, let us know by emailing us at energen@ubs.com. And if you liked this episode, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify to hear more.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review Client Relationship Summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.